Food Today, science-based information on food, nutrition and safety. From UFIC, the European Food Information Council. During the Food Allergy and Anaphylaxis meeting, which was held in Nice, France, from the 7th to the 9th of February 2013, threshold levels and effective avoidance of food allergens was discussed. In this podcast, Dr. Josephine Wills, Director General of UFIC, interviewed Dr. Chunhan Chan, Senior Scientific Officer at Food Standards Agency, United Kingdom, about the Food Information Regulation, precautionary labelling, and the establishment of allergen threshold levels to provide the scientific basis for effective allergen labelling.
My name is Chunhan Chan. I work within the Food Standards Agency in the UK in the food allergy branch. And the food allergy branch has responsibility on food allergy legislation, providing risk assessments for food allergy incidents, as well as providing information and guidance documents for food businesses, enforcement officers and consumers. We also commission a range of research projects to help us provide evidence to underpin our policy needs.
Allergen labelling is covered in the new 2011 Food Information for Consumers regulation, and it's going to include food that is not pre-packed, such as food we might be buying, consuming in restaurants, at school, work canteens. What impact is this regulation about food allergy going to have on caterers? What are they going to be required to do?
The new Food Information for Consumers regulation will introduce a new requirement for caterers. From December 2014, they will have to provide information about the 14 listed allergens which may have been used as an ingredient in any of the dishes that they serve. That information needs to be provided in a written format, or it could be provided verbally. The UK is looking to introduce a national measure to allow verbal provision of allergy information because we acknowledge there's a wide range of food businesses across the UK, and we want to ensure that businesses can comply as best as they can to the regulations. But if you provide the verbal information, it needs to be consistent and it needs to be verifiable where challenged. So there needs to be another process in place to ensure the consistency and variability. But the UK government is not dictating how this should be done.
So will consumers who know they are allergic to certain ingredients have to ask the person who is there in the canteen, who's taking their order or who is serving them? Or is the onus on the person who is doing the serving to automatically tell everybody exactly what allergens are in the particular dishes?
The signposting for allergen information needs to be provided up front, so everyone will know that information on allergens is available, regardless of whether you're a food allergic individual or not. It's up to you to decide to whether you want to read through that information, if it's provided in a menu or whether it's provided on a chalkboard, flip chart, folder. Or if it's provided verbally, then again, it's signposting to direct anyone who wants that information to speak to a member of staff.
How is the new Food Information to Consumers regulation going to improve the labelling of potential food allergens in packaged goods?
What we'll see is the requirement to emphasise allergens within the ingredients list. This could be done through different fonts, such as highlighting, bold, italicising, underlining, whatever is most suitable for a particular packaging. We are encouraging food businesses through the UK Food Drink Federation and through the British Retail Consortium to try and have a consistent approach to how the allergen is emphasised.
On packaging, we sometimes see phrases such as may contain or has been produced in a factory where there may be peanuts. Will the new regulation have any impact on this precautionary labelling?
With the introduction of the Food Information for Consumers regulation, we'll still see the application of precautionary labelling. There is Article 36 within the regulation which will allow voluntary labelling to be applied, but that will have to be introduced through implementing acts. So for the time being, It's still covered through general food law, where the food should not mislead, it should not be injurious to health, and that's the basis for the application for precautionary labelling. But in the future, there may be scope to introduce that within the FIR.
What's the work that's being done in this area to perhaps minimise and make more accurate those products that have the phrase may contain?
What we have seen is that the food allergic consumer is often confused by precautionary labelling such as may contain, and also the different phrases that are used. The UK Food Standards Agency is working with fellow experts in the area, with industry, risk assessors, with patient groups, to derive reference values to try and provide a more evidence-based level on when to apply precautionary labelling.
What are allergen reference values?
Allergen reference values are levels of allergens that are found in food below which we will not expect significant reactions occurring in any food allergic individual. We're hoping that these reference values will be used to inform precautionary labelling decisions such as may contain, not suitable for. At the moment, people are providing those labelling decisions on the best available data. So the action levels or reference doses will provide a bit more certainty, which is based on clinical data and actual risk. We have to acknowledge that we cannot protect every single person on every single occasion from any kind of reaction. So a reference dose will give us protection for the large majority of the population, but we might see some minor reactions in a very small proportion on occasion.
So what level of allergen cross-contamination is acceptable to a population?
That's something that the various research and expert groups are trying to address. What we are looking at is collecting clinical data from food allergic populations to derive some dose response curves using probabilistic risk modelling. And through that, we can ascertain what proportion of the population can react to a particular allergen or level of allergen. And with that, we could see what level of protection is suitable. We've seen at the EAACI conference that we are looking at ED01s, ED05, but we need to ascertain whether that level is sufficiently protective. ED is eliciting doses, so it's a level which will elicit a reaction in a proportion of a population. So ED01 is that it will elicit a reaction 1% of the population.
And how will this help the consumer in the future once this is applied?
Well, we hope that once we get these reference doses or action levels, that the consumer will understand that a thorough risk assessment's been carried out. This is based on a real level and based to clinical risk. And that hopefully, with a step change away from may contain, we may see other types of precautionary statements being used, giving back trust to precautionary labelling. So we won't see risk-taking behaviour anymore, and hopefully more choice for the consumer, because some businesses may find out that they may not need to apply precautionary labelling on their products.
What sort of factors do you consider for risk assessment for enforcement purposes?
Where I get analytical results, I'll look at what the results are reporting. So whether we're talking about any specific allergenic protein, total protein, food, or whether it's a DNA result. We then look at the likely portion size. So we need to link that up to the kind of exposure or dose that a consumer will be getting on an eating occasion. We then look at how many numbers of this particular product are out there on the market and whether that distribution is local, national or international, so the size of the problem. With that, I look at clinical data that is available to see what kind of levels people are reacting to. And through that, I decide whether the levels are too high or quite low. I have to make a judgment on the available data that I have. And all of that forms a part of my risk assessment to decide whether a product is risky for the food allergic consumer. I also need to look at whether the food is targeted to a specific part of the population and whether it makes a free-from claim.
If you've assessed that there is a risk with a product that's out there on the market, how do you then go and let consumers know about that?
There's a twofold action. First of all, we speak with the food businesses and the enforcement officers to ensure that they take the product off the shelves. They put a point of sale notice to let their customers know what's wrong with that particular product. We then also issue an allergy alert, where appropriate, to inform consumers of a problem. We also encourage the food business operators involved with this particular incident to get in contact with the food allergy support organisations so they can have targeted contact to their at-risk members. So it's a direct line to the allergic consumer.
So where would consumers see these allergy alerts? Should they be actively looking out for them, or will they automatically see them?
Food consumers can actively look for them on food.gov.uk. People can also register to receive alerts direct to their mobile. Through the allergy support organisations, they'll also do a targeted mail. We're not responsible for that. That's done independently. They will also issue web stories and web alerts as well on their websites. So there are ways of finding out where there's a problem with a particular food. You can be proactive and register, as well as check up on a daily basis.
What are the next steps to help consumers with respect to food allergy?
We've got a huge engagement strategy at the moment. We're looking to engage with the healthcare professionals to ensure that they update the advice that they're providing to their patients. So that's one area. The other area is to work with the caterers to ensure that they provide the right information for consumers and that they encourage consumers to engage in dialogue and not be afraid to ask about food allergens. For the consumer, we're looking to update our advice, to work with the patient groups to ensure that they're all updated on the changes and what they expect through labelling or when eating out.
What about food businesses, those that are making the food?
Well, the Food Standards Agency already has an e-learning tool that is freely available on our website. We also have a guidance document which provides information about how to best provide allergy information for non-prepack foods. We are looking to update those for the new regulation. So with that, we hope to engage with catering colleges, with hospitality associations, with the enforcement officers to ensure that those in the food service sector are aware of these freely available tools and to get to use them so they can be more confident with allergen management within the kitchen.
Food Today. Science-based information on food, nutrition and safety. From UFIC, the European Food Information Council.